So if your CFO is like still just sitting back, waiting to approve or reject AI business cases as they roll in, they're about to become completely obsolete. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a briefing by Greg Pickrell called CFO as Growth Coach, and we're unpacking how the AI revolution is really forcing this massive pivot in financial leadership.
Yeah, the stakes here are frankly existential for the finance department. I mean, if a CFO just acts as a gatekeeper right now, the other departments are simply going to move faster.
Right, they'll just bypass them.
Exactly. They'll frame their own AI business cases and bypass finance entirely. So the C-suite, they don't need a referee anymore. They need a growth coach.
I really like that framing because historically we think of the CFO as, well, kind of the bouncer at the club, standing at the velvet rope, looking at the line of requests and saying, like, yes, you can come in, or no, you're too expensive, go home. So are they supposed to be the club promoter now?
Well, no, it's less about being a promoter and I'd say more like acting as a venture capitalist. You are no longer just guarding the vault. You're actively placing bets.
Okay, so placing bets.
Yeah, the growth coach isn't just asking what does this cost? They're driving a really rigorous AI investment portfolio. They're looking at all these potential tech investments and asking, what growth does this unlock compared to the alternatives?
So you're managing this dynamic portfolio of bets, strategically allocating capacity where it actually multiplies value. But how does that pivot realistically happen? I mean, a CFO can't just walk into a board meeting tomorrow and declare, "Hey, everyone, I'm a venture capitalist now."
Right, that wouldn't go over well.
Don't you just like hire a top-tier consultant to come in and explain AI strategy to the board?
No, actually, Pickrell's briefing is aggressively against that approach. You can't skip straight to high-level strategy because without proof, you're really just offering opinions.
That makes sense.
You have to build credibility first, starting with yourself. And he breaks this down into four stages. That first stage is what he calls personal fluency.
Personal fluency.
Yes, meaning using AI daily in your own work for financial modeling, scenario analysis, and, synthesizing data.
Wait, hold on. A CFO using AI daily in the trenches. Like, most financial executives I know are in back-to-back meetings from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. How realistic is it to expect them to be that hands-on with the tech?
I mean, it's mandatory because if you rely on vendor demos or those glossy strategy decks, you cannot effectively interrogate an AI business case pitched by another
Oh,
department.
wow. Yeah, you just have to take their word for it.
Right. You have to understand the technology's actual friction points and capabilities from the inside. And here's why that hands-on fluency is like the domino that starts everything else. Once you understand how the AI actually works, you move to stage two, which is applying it to enable your own finance workflows.
Ah, so you don't just learn it for the sake of learning it. You use that knowledge to overhaul your own department. Like automating the reconciliations, accelerating reporting cycles.
Exactly. You accept the initial cost of enabling your own team, maybe building predictive models to replace manual forecasting.
Freeing up time.
Yeah, you use the technology to free up your team's capacity so they can focus on strategic growth work rather than just data entry.
Which leads right into stage three.
Okay, what's stage three?
Making finance the reference case. If you're listening to this and thinking, my broader organization would never buy into these major AI investments, well, this internal overhaul is actually the solution.
Because you're turning finance into the ultimate proof of concept.
Exactly. That's the brilliance of doing this in sequence. Documenting the actual cost-to-value ratio of your own AI integration builds massive organizational trust.
I see. Because when the department that literally controls the purse strings says, look, we tested this internally, here is exactly what delivered value, and here is what failed, that carries way more weight than some top-down mandate. 100%. And that brings us to the fourth and final stage, which is owning the growth prioritization dialogue.
So the ultimate goal of all this internal testing isn't just departmental efficiency, it's boardroom leverage. You arrive at the executive table with documented hard evidence of what AI can do.
Yeah, and that is when you can actually own that dialogue. You're no longer the referee on the sidelines just reacting to requests. You're in the game, actively driving the company's bets because you have the proof to back it up.
It's a complete mindset shift.
It really is. The core takeaway here is that the AI advantage, it won't go to the organization that simply spends the most money on new tools. It goes to the one that invests the most rigorously.
That rigor really does change everything. Well, thank you for joining us in this deep dive. But before we go, consider this. Look at your own role, right? If the CFO steps up to become the growth coach, actively driving these AI investments, Who takes over that traditional role of saying no? As AI models get better at instantly analyzing budgets and flagging financial risks, does the algorithm eventually become the new bouncer at the velvet rope? Something to think about.